Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I think my camera's set up okay. And I'm back in this million-dollar underground bunker here on Monday morning, August 13th, 2018. Lord's not making another one. I hope this isn't indicative of how my week's going to be. You know, Michelle and I just got back from New York, Long Island, New York. Had a great time. I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Crawled in our bed last night, had a great night's sleep, and woke up, said, oh, so I head in to brush my teeth, do all that stuff, step out of bed and step into dog poop. My first step this morning was into dog poop, right by my bed. Daisy, our dog, I don't know whether she was welcoming me home. I don't know that if she's so happy I was home, she couldn't hold herself. I don't know. I've got to cast something out of that dog. I can tell you that. So then I get up, every morning I get up after I cleaned up all the dog do and got ready to do what I call show prep, get good things for you to show, yada, yada, yada. And put it up. I put them in a little file and then I send them to Jared. And I went down there and I hit click to send them to Jared and the screen went blank and everything disappeared. So I know what I want to do this morning, but I am flying a little bit by the seat of my pants here. So bear with me today, folks, as we traipse our way through this this morning show. Bless you. It is good to be back. I appreciate you guys. When I hit the road, we always have different kinds of shows. You know, when I hit the road, just because it's not, I don't have time to do the show prep. I can't sit in the studio like this. And so just bear with me that Thursday and Friday may not have been the top of our game, but I know that you guys give us grace. I want to talk a little bit about this weekend. Before I get to this weekend, I want to do more than tip my hat to my buddy Gary Pierce. Most of you don't know a lot about Gary. Gary does a lot of stuff for me behind the scenes for not very much money, just for his faithfulness. And Gary's what I call anal. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys, when you walk in his garage, everything's hung up in order. You know, shovel one, shovel two, shovel three. He's his mind works. Linear, boom, 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 boom. And I don't know if you picked up on this. That ain't me at all. That ain't me at all. I got a half-finished project here and a half-started one over here and half of it. And, well, that's the way I am. And Gary and I attended to, that's not the right word, those two styles. I need somebody like Gary to reel me in. And I just want to say what a great job Gary did working our table this weekend and all the organization. And then what was really good about it is we had 8 hours out and 8 hours back in the car. My wife was with us to talk about, you know, some direction. Coach, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. This is things going to work. This is what's got to happen. And so I appreciate Gary being away from home for 4 days, and Debbie, thanks for letting him go. And I really sensed that, from my standpoint anyway, we really accomplished some things on the way home. He explained to me why, even though I know it, he explained to me why I need to be more organized than this, more organized than that, need to do all this. And so thank you, Gary. I do appreciate it. We had quite a time, quite a ride. And one of the things that Gary told me about, and he says, Coach, listen, man, you've got to, you got to get stuff on your schedule. And I said, I got stuff on my schedule. And he said, well, where is the schedule? I said, well, at home by my, where I do my work. He says, well, that's great, but nobody else knows your schedule. I said, then you'll pop up on Thursday, say, hey, see you in Wisconsin tomorrow. And everybody says, what? You coming to Wisconsin? You got to realize that there are people out there who are watching who would probably like to come to some of these things, but believe it or not, they need to make some plans. You got that stuff up on your schedule. He'd been hammering me for that for about 10 days. So I appreciate it, Gary. I do appreciate it. So let me, I had all this down. I don't have to go do it from memory now, okay? And I'm going to get this stuff to Jared. We're going to get it up on the website. I want you to know this, that these interactive things where we meet face to face, there's a magic that happens there. Just a magic. Happened again this weekend. You know, we're in Long Island. I've never been to Long Island. I didn't realize. Did you guys? Maybe I said this on Friday. Long Island goes from Brooklyn. It runs 90 miles. It's a 90-mile long island. I guess that's why they call it Long Island. I had no idea. And then our car took us 3 hours to go 90 miles because of the traffic jam. I was out there going out there on Thursday night. And so we really got an eye-opener. Everything is so expensive on Long Island. In fact, my wife was looking at something on the way home in the back seat. She said, hey, Coach Dave, did you know that – she didn't call me Coach Dave. Sometimes she calls me Dave, but if somebody's in the car, she calls me Coach sometimes. And if I'm in trouble, she calls me David. She said, listen to this. And she read, did you know that the most expensive place to live in America is in Long Island, New York? Isn't that something? But boy, we sure saw it at the conference. Hotel rooms, they gave us a reduced rate of $200 a night. $200 a night? Are you kidding me? Wow. So, you know, our trip out there was, it cost us money to go. It cost David Arthur money to go. I'll get into all that stuff. But here's what I want to lay on the table right now is, on September 14th and 15th. Help me here, Chad. I don't know if Chad's in here today. I'm going to be in Texas. We're going to be in Texas, September 14th and 15th. Are you there, Chad? I spoke to Chad last night, and I didn't say get up there and be here in the morning because, you know, Monday morning sometimes is his day off or whatever. Anyway, we're going to be at Chad. We're going to be in Texas, September 14th and 15th. At Chad Estes' house. We're having a pretty good size event because Chad's worked really, really hard to make his Salt and Light Brigade work down there in Texas. So if you're in the Texas area, Oklahoma area, or whatever, we're going to get that information, better information up on our website. But get that in your calendar that we are going to be there September 14th and 15th. We're going to Friday and Saturday and Sunday morning. So whatever. Prepare to make plans. Come down and join us. These get-togethers are really... they really are kind of life-changing things. And then now I'm going to mess up. Rob Pugh, we're going to be in Wisconsin. Now, that one's kind of weird because Wisconsin is going to be in the middle of the week. We're going to start in the middle of the week. And wait a minute, Rob, I'll get it here, Rob. Get my calendar up here. I had it all on my screen until it disappeared on me. We're going to be in Wisconsin beginning on like the 17th of Wednesday, so Wednesday, October 17th, 17, 18, 19, and 20. We're going to do ministry in Marshfield and in Milwaukee. Matt Truella and his crew are going to join us. Rusty Thomas and some of his crew are going to get. So that's going to be a good event. If you're anywhere near Wisconsin, details are coming. Get it on your schedule. We'd love to see you there. George Lewis, we haven't firmed this up, but George Lewis is working on an event. What we would just call a huddle where we all get together the weekend of October 12th and 13th. We have not firmed that up. We haven't. But if you're in Oklahoma, surrounding area, October 12th and 13th, bear with me. I'm going to get it on the schedule. And then Tanya, oh, my goodness. I met Tanya over the phone. Bethlehem, PA, November 3rd. It's a Saturday, November 3rd. And we'll get some more information. So if you're anywhere out in any of those areas, put them on your calendar and make an attempt to try to get there, okay? Because there's a dynamic that happens when folks come together. So, Gary, maybe Gary's not mad at me anymore because I did cover all that this morning. I want to tip my hat to Don Paxson, who was there, to Vinny, who came to Long Island, to Gary, as I said, to Sandy. Sandy came to the Alphabet Man who came. It's an expensive trip, man. It was expensive. And some crazy things happened. We're going to talk about today. And so I just thank all those guys who did. Anybody want to weigh in? I just saw Don Paxson said he had to get to the airport at 5:30 and he got to the airport at a little late and they closed the door. And so he's sitting in the airport right now. Come on in here a minute, Don, can you? He's sitting in the airport.
Right here.
Just give us a little bit of feedback, a little bit overview
of the weekend for you, Don. What? I'm sorry, couldn't hear you.
A little overview of the weekend for you. Don hadn't been to one of these. He hadn't been to one. He came all the way up from somewhere down in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, wherever the heck it is. Tell us real quick, Don.
Oh, it was great. I had a wonderful time. Worked mostly with the vendors.
Now you had let's do this one, Jared. Yes, folks, Vinny is real. Vinny and the Jets. Vinny is a real guy. Now that's one thing, Jared. I think I did get out to you. It says Vinny. Jared, see if we can shoot old Vinny up there and show you folks that he is a real person. We'd heard about him. He's on the show. He's always telling us what, you know, giving us his opinion on stuff. And lo and behold, Vinny shows up Saturday morning. Put him up there on the screen. My computer's not working. Come on. There he is. Vinny. So he's a real deal, folks. Real man. David said, yeah, he's an amazing guy. He is. And it was great to have Vinny. Vinny, join us there as well. Cool. Vinny, are you in there, man? Got anything to say this morning? You're normal. He may not be in here. Got a good crowd. We got the 35 of us. So one of the things that was really good, Vinny, come to Wisconsin. That's what Rob Pugh just said, Vinny. Folks, this was a great – sometimes I ask myself, why do I do these things? You know, why do – because it costs us money to go. Okay, it costs us money to go. Hotels, three nights, $600 in a hotel. And of course, we try to help some other people come too. And it was really amazing. People there in Long Island were kind of tight with their money. They bought hats and shirts, but not very many. And even though it's the most expensive place to live in America, people don't have any money. They make a lot of money, but they don't have any money. But the same thing I saw happen this weekend that happens every time we go is people are so hungry for like-minded folks. And that's a great dynamic that we always see take place. And then I feel bad because of all the people there, David Arthur, maybe you can come in and testify on this one. Nobody does what we do. Now, hang on with me. I spoke on Friday afternoon at 2. I had an hour and a half. And in the midst of my presentation, I worked in videos of all hands on deck. When we went to the mosque, I showed it. 2-minute clips of going to the mosque, 2-minute clip of the pride parade, of going to the abortion clinic. I showed video of what we did with Kim Davis and what we did with, we talked about what we did with Ken Hovind. I showed video of, I can't even remember, a Target, and showed people. So listen, we got to get out of the seats and we got to move, man. We got to start doing this stuff. And I found people were hungry to do it. Nobody is teaching any. Nobody's even talking about. And I made the illustration again on Saturday about the little stick man. We got great big heads full of knowledge, and everybody came to the conference. You know, they didn't come to get the information. They came searching for some truth and somebody had understood. And so they're all in there, and they're getting head knowledge on Fatima and on CERN and on their the end of the time, what's going on in Jerusalem. And I'm sitting back in. I'm, God bless Mike and Jeannie Kerr for bringing this stuff together. But I'm saying, man, this is just egghead stuff, man. This isn't any good. This is good. It's good information. It's good knowledge. But if we don't do something with it, it's no good. We took our little salt packets and handed out salt packets to everybody and told them that they were the salt of the earth. And so then one of the things that I feel bad when I leave with is I don't have anybody on the ground to coordinate these group of people. We had like 50 people from Long Island. Long Island's 90 miles long. It's like from here to almost to Cleveland, from where I live. But there's nobody to bring those people together. And so I'm, you know, really going to try to lean on Chad to organize this Salt and Light Brigade. I can't do it. I don't have time to do it. I need somebody under me. Those people are so hungry for somebody to pull them together. That's my greatest heartache right now. And I would say to all of you, I understand expenses, I understand all of that. If there's one of these events, if we have an event near you, there's nothing better than your personal testimony. If you don't watch Sandy Ashley work, if you don't watch her work the table, talk to people, it was great. David Arthur talking to people about boots on the ground, getting out on the streets and do it. People want to do it. They just don't know how to do it. David, what was your experience there, man? Come on in here real quick.
Coach, it was pretty much the same. I liked the idea that people came to the event to get all the information they could from all of the speakers that were there. But when you got up there and talked about boots on the ground, getting out in the streets, and then when Sandy shared, it was just the women reacted to Sandy like I had never seen before. They were just like, wow, I want to do it. I have to do it. Just watching everybody, they're coming up. I mean, I'll tell you one experience that was a blessing to me is that after like the break or after breakfast, whatever, they flashed the lights to let everybody know that the speaker was going to speak. I had these two women there and a man, we were just talking and you know, going through the whole spiel of what it's like and what we do. And it was lunchtime. Everybody was walking out the door and we were like, where's everybody going? It was that quick.
And yeah.
Such a blessing, because she looked at me and she says, well, I don't know who just spoke. She said, and I don't even really care. She said, because I just had my own private speaking. She's like, and this is what I want to do. You know, so
amen.
They're connected. And that's what we need. We need more events where people can come and regardless of the cost, that they'll be able to come in some way.
David, every person is important. Listen, if you are in, my wife said coming home, she said, you know, she says, everybody's really in the brigade. So how many on that email list do we have? Gary just cleaned the email list up, you know, with thousands of people on our email list. Everybody's in the brigade. Everybody's in the brigade. Some pray, some make phone calls, some show up. Everybody's in the brigade, and we're trying to mobilize people to get there. It's really, really important. So, you know, listen, if we bring one to Oklahoma, we need you there. Yeah, we need you there. If you're close to Oklahoma, we need you to come. I mean, I can show up and talk about the brigade, and I stand there, it's me and David, and say, oh, boy, this is a big brigade. But something when Sandy starts talking about him, Don starts talking about him, Benny starts talking about him, there's a dynamic that goes on. I just can't explain to you. And again, I don't care whether you call it a brigade. I don't care what it is. We got to get people together. We got to get them off their butts and get them together. So David, thanks for coming. And, I appreciate it. You know, listen, I've seen enough of it. I saw it again this weekend. Should I say it, Lord? Did I say it? Okay, I will. I saw it again this weekend. How do I say? Okay, Lord, I hear you. Let me tell you something. Just because you believe it doesn't mean it's true. And just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it isn't. I saw it happen again this weekend. We are so bound by our doctrine. Oh, my goodness. Now, I sat there. I take it like a man, okay? Let me make this perfectly clear of two things, two positions I have. But I don't force them on anybody else. I don't care, all right? This is what I believe, but I can still be your friend and your brother and stand shoulder to shoulder with you if you don't believe, okay? Number one. Okay, here we're going to lose our viewers. Number one. I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I don't believe in it. Most of the guys who spoke at the conference believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I can get along with them. Ain't no big deal. I'm going out to the abortion clinic whether that rapture comes or not. To me, it's irrelevant. It's just irrelevant. I see both sides of it. I ain't no dummy. It doesn't matter to me. If the rapture comes tomorrow, I'm out of here. You call it the blessed hope. You call it whatever you want to. Well, the blessed hope is I'm going to go to heaven. That's my blessed hope. and I'm going to work while the sun shines because the day comes when no man can work. That's number one. I don't believe in the rapture. And many of them spoke on Saturday, Friday and Saturday, about the rapture. I don't care. I sat there and said, yeah, that's wrong. And I'm going to say number two. Okay, I'm going to go there on this one. I'm going to go there because there ain't nobody that can. There ain't nobody that can. Nobody can argue with it. No matter how many times I bring it up to them, you cannot argue with them. Are you ready, folks? Here you go. I'm going to lose some more of you. I'm still your friend. I don't care what you think. It doesn't matter to me. But I'm going to tell you this. The church is the body of Christ, not the bride. The church is the body of Christ, not the bride. Chapter 21 of Revelation, Jared. Chapter 21. Now, it doesn't matter. I don't care. But I sat there and I listened to some guy, more than one, continue to call the church the bride of Christ. And I didn't get mad. I didn't stomp out. But I can tell you this, that some speakers didn't sit and listen to hear other guys speak. See, that's stupid, isn't it? That is being closed-minded. I'm being closed-minded. Now, the scripture is either lying or it's not. All right? And I don't believe the Bible contradicts itself. Well, I'm going to have to do a show on this. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, in fact, he said, I saw it myself. I was a witness to it. I was an eyewitness. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And as if that's not enough, where was that, Michelle? Come show me the bride, it says. Where is it? I'm fighting over here. Yes. Verse 29. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come here, dude. I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Come on, dude. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. There is the bride of Christ. Now, I'm not going to stay on any longer. Two witnesses. Right there it is. Two witnesses. And I sat there and listened. Everybody keep calling the church the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body. But I didn't fight about it. I listened to all of it. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, golly, should somebody stand up and say something? Should somebody stand up and say, wait a minute, have you considered this? But no, I didn't argue about it. It's not worth going to war over. But I think it's important. I'm not going to defellowship with you because of it. Somebody come in here real quick. Spank me or pat me on the back. Show me where I'm wrong on that issue. Can anybody?
Thank you, Coach.
All right, man. Hey, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Amen, Coach. Thanks.
Somebody explain to me where I'm wrong. That's all I'm asking. Somebody explain to me where I'm wrong. And I talk to people, and you know what they say? Well, it's a mystery. Somewhere along the line, we get transformed from his body into his bride. The dude, how's that work? Somebody tell me how that works. Oh, boy.
Hey, Coach, and that you answered that very question, because what they want to use is Ephesians chapter 5.
Thanks. I was just thinking that, man. Go ahead.
And that's exactly what he said. And he talks about the husband and the wife. And then he says, and I'm telling you a mystery. A mystery means that's unsolved. It does not say that this is what the scripture calls it. He does not call the church the bride. Paul is just given an example. He says, this is a mystery, though. And Paul only identifies a few times about mystery. So you can't build a theology on a mystery.
Amen, Dale. That's good. And so he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, that doesn't say the church is the bride of Christ. How did you get there? Wives, submit yourselves unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it might be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies, as, like, in comparison to.
Right. And coach, it's down in verse 32. It says, and this mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference. Another point, reference to Christ and the church. The second point is this. You can never build a theology on a single passage of scripture.
Amen. Is right. That's what this is. That's what this is. I agree. Hey, Dale, by the way,
hey, Coach.
I feel the same way about the rapture. The rapture is basically built on one scripture. Second Thessalonians. Go ahead, George.
Well, Coach, look at it from just a practical standpoint. If Christ is the head of the church, okay, that's masculine, right?
Right.
Okay, so we know that if we're the bride, that's feminine. That means it's a freak show. That means it's transgender. It doesn't make any sense. The body, therefore, is masculine. It's not a bride. It's a
amen. Amen, George.
Amen, George.
Well, but there's other scriptures, and so what they do, once again, it's about a mystery. And it's open to interpretation because of it being a mystery. So it can never be an absolutism. And I agree with you, Coach. I can sit and listen to it. I don't divide myself over the body because of somebody else's belief, whether it's pre, post, mid, or whether they believe, because then they talk about in the scripture with the gospel, talking about the wedding feast and John was the groomsman. In hindsight, brother, it has nothing to do with eternal value. Why are we separating ourselves on such nonsense?
And see, I'm sorry, I just threw out, the Holy Spirit just threw this out on the table for us to discuss it, because I'm not prepared to do a whole presentation. But just ask yourself this question. You want to be invited to the wedding? Well, we get invited to the wedding, don't we? Well, when does a bride have to be invited to her own wedding? You get invited to the wedding? What? And it's, I don't get bogged down. Some of you are scratching your head right now. So this guy's crazy. I never heard anything like that. What's the problem? You never heard anything? Hang on. Yeah, go ahead and speak. I'm Googling something right now as we speak. I'm going to get it.
I always go, I love the little words in the scripture. Here's one that I'm going to be preaching on Sunday. It's one of those things, I've had these a few times where they literally floor me and cause me to do a study. When we read out of John chapter 8 and it says, whom the Son sets free, we say sets free. But when you read your Bible, it doesn't say set free. It says whom the Son makes free is free indeed. That is a huge, huge word. Because you see, I can set my dog free and my dog will go back to acting like a dog. But the word make in the Hebrew and in the Greek means to. It means to create something. Create me, gives me. It says, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm not set free to go back and do what I want to do. I am made free in Christ.
Amen, Dale. Well, that's good. Dale, that is good. Jared, real quickly, 1 Corinthians 12, Jared. 1 Corinthians 12. I got to get off this because I'm not prepared to talk about it today. I just got to get off this, okay? The Bible does not contradict itself. 1 Corinthians 12, go to verse about 25 a second real quick, Jared. The Bible does not contradict itself. Okay, there you are. Talks about, stay right there, Jared, 24. For our comely parts have, he's talking about the body. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which is lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Sit down, here it comes. And remember, one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice. Why? Because 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, somebody show me where Paul or Christ himself says specifically that the church is the bride. Somebody show me that. I'm going to tell you. You can do it all you want because you're not going to find it.
Amen.
Are we the body or are we the bride? All I know is right there it says I'm the body. Wait a minute, Jared. Hey, Jared. How about that one? Isaiah chapter 9. Yeah, that's the ticket. Try Isaiah chapter 9. One body, many members, right? We're one body, many members. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ.
Hey, Isaiah Coach.
Yes.
Coach, you know what? It really is kind of a big deal. And again, I'm not going to divide with my brothers over this, but it is a big deal because think about it. The difference between what masculine people do and feminine people do is huge. And if people think we're the bride of Christ, why would you go to an abortion clinic? Why would you fight evil? Because then people do. They want to sit back, feel good, you know, be placated, all that stuff. But the masculine wants to go fight. They want to go conquer. We want to win battles.
Amen. Hey, we're acting like a woman, aren't we, George? We're acting like a woman. By the way, George, just right now, I'm telling you, right now, a text message popped up on my phone from yesterday, from last night. It just popped up. George, tell us what you did, if you feel free to, George, at Owosso yesterday. Four of you. What did you do, George, yesterday?
Well, me, Alan Miracle, met these two guys that were in the abolitionist movement. One was a dentist from Russellville, Arkansas. One was from Edmond, Oklahoma. Well, we went to Baptist Church. Now, understand this is a good-sized Southern Baptist church, and this church was very, let's just put it this way, they were not very nice to us when we were trying to help Dan Fisher out. We got kicked out of their parking lot.
Went there earlier, and they didn't really receive you, so you went back. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So Alan has had the need to go call these churches to repent. You know, repent for just basically playing church and not getting out and doing what you're saying, Christ. So four of us got there. We had the abortion sign showing what abortion does, all that kind of stuff. And man, it wasn't any time Chip was out there confronting us, asking us to leave. And then when that didn't work, they had more people come out confronting us, leadership. And when that didn't work, they called the cops. The cops came, and of course, we were on the easement, so agreed, hey, we were within our right. And then more church leadership, and that didn't work. And, you know, we're beginning our position to try to get them to repent. This is wrong with what's going on in our society, and you guys are an accomplice to it. And then I think they called the cops about three times. But anyway, I'll make this short. This is one of the pastor came out, and he basically, you know, we asked him. I think I asked him. I said, he's not active in helping us end abortion. I said, shouldn't every Christian? I said, nothing's going to be made right in our nation until abortion atrocity is ended. Well, anyway, he said something. He made an excuse. Hey, we don't know everything that's going on, blah, blah, blah. So he said, did you know we have a widow in our church whose husband just died last week? I said, of course I didn't. And so he's going to use that as reasoning why they weren't out fighting abortion. Well, come to find out, Alan sent me, which I sent you, the obituary. This guy that passed away last week, the one he was talking about, his husband, was a 32nd degree Mason. They put in for 32nd degree Mason. And Coach, confirm what I thought. The church is in high places, and you know what's coming out is.
George, I'm going to cut you off because you're breaking up. At least in my ear, maybe everybody else is hearing you clearly. Unbelievable, man.
Coach, can you
Yeah.
Explain what he was saying. He was breaking up so bad.
Yeah, he was. I didn't know whether it was just on my end. George went to a church. It took some signs, calling him to actions. Pastors come out. What are you doing here? And George asks some questions. They don't have very good answers. Another guy comes out. That doesn't work. We don't want you here. And George says, we're standing on the sidewalk. They call the police. The police come. You got to leave. No, we're standing on the sidewalk. Anyway, George gets home. One of the guys said, well, somebody in our church just died. Yada, yada. It's kind of disturbing to us. George goes home and looks in the paper, the obituary. The guy's 32 degree Mason. George is just making the point that this stuff is just embedded. This stuff is embedded everywhere. Now, look, I want to shift gears here because this is important to him. This is important. Okay. It's important. Jared, folks, I met some, if you guys have not been to my Facebook page yet and watched the video of this pathologist that I did an interview with, who actually gets the little aborted babies, and she has to catalog the size of their feet and their legs, their little hearts, powerful things. It's on our website. I was going to show some of it this morning, but I can't kill two birds with one stone. And she's agreed to come on the show and tell us, as a medical doctor, she's a pathologist. When she first started, she was pregnant at the time. They bring her a jar of baby remains. Powerful. I want to talk about that, but I'm not going to be able to do it now. We're going to get her on the show. There it is. There's the interview. I've got almost 20,000 hits on my Facebook page. That almost never happened. Like 20,000 hits on my Facebook page on this video. And now I got it on YouTube and shot that out on YouTube. So it's starting to pick up more and more. I don't want to go here, Jared, because I'm going to pick up on this tomorrow. I want to go a different direction, which is going to tie together everything I was talking about at the beginning. Okay. We all have our own theologies, and that's okay. But why are we so unwilling? Why are we so unwilling? I don't get it. Why do we have to agree with it for it to be true? Why do we have to? So here's what happened. Jared, let's go to Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 17. Pastor Dale shared this with us one time too. Okay, let's go. Jared, let's go up a little bit. So like 15 maybe. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. And he said unto them, it's Jesus written in red, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. We want to argue about the body of Christ, bride of Christ. It says very clearly that if you're one of my followers, you're going to be doing this. In my name shall they cast out devils. Huh? Now, does he say, let me see here, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name as long as I'm here on earth and during the first century. But after the first century, these signs are not going to follow those who believe in me because it's all those gifts are going to cease. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. See, I believe these signs shall follow those that believe. I believe. Anybody out there believe? I believe. I believe. Okay. Well, then in my name, I ought to be out casting out devils. I ought to be speaking with new tongues. This is right from Christ. And if they take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now look at this. So let me ask you something. If you came across somebody who was possessed of the devil. What is Jesus talking about here? Somebody correct me if you think I'm wrong. Somebody's possessed of the devil, And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Look, I want to say this because we know the punctuation in the scriptures is iffy. They put it where they thought it was. Nobody was there transcribing Jesus. But what if we changed the punctuation, not the wording, punctuation? What if it said this? And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, comma. Difference, isn't it? They shall count these signs shall follow those that believe. Believe what? Believe what? What if it meant these signs shall follow those that believe in my name, comma. The power of his name. His name's the power. The word's the power. Not believing isn't the power. Merely believing is not the power. The waves, right? Those that believe in my name, what are they going to do? They're going to cast out devils. So if we, I go to this conference, and I hear about Nephilim. I hear about CERN. I hear about all these things going on, UFOs, another dimension. Boom, I'm hearing all this head knowledge stuff, and it's all good. Nimrod, Babylon rising, and Apollyon rising, and boom, 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 boom. And Russ Dizdar, by the way, couldn't make it because I heard it's like I told you. And Russ Dizdar goes to the streets. And what does Russ Dizdar do? Why, I believe in his name, he casts out devils. I believe that's what he does. Pretty sure it's what he does. And I come across some new friends that I made. I met four people, listen to me, four people at that conference that I met who were SRAs, satanically, ritually abused as children. I met four of them. Four of them. Two of them got baptized. Two of them are working hard to come out from under this satanic abuse that they've seen. Okay, so let's ask this. If you were possessed of a evil spirit, a demon, call it whatever you want to, and somebody cast that thing out, what would that look like? What would that look like? To actually cast out a vile, evil spirit, a spirit of pornography, spirit of whatever, what would that look like? How would that whole thing take place? What would that look like? Because we're supposed to be doing it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Vinny. Go ahead, Vinny. What would it look like?
Coach, someone said that they were casting out an evil spirit from someone and it resembled a reptile.
It just said reptile.
That the guy's tongue started flicking around like a lizard's tongue. He grew bumps on his forehead like an iguana has. He says it was just insane. And his eye went to the irises.
Okay, Vinny. Hey, come on, Vinny. You're going crazy now. We're just talking about all this stuff that we talk about at these conferences. This stuff isn't real. I mean, we want to talk about devils and demons and demon possession. And so somebody's possessed of the devil, and to cast that demon out, what would that look like? Anybody, come on, what would it look like? What would it look like? We lay hands on you. Please come out of there, Mr. Demon. Please come out. Let him go in Jesus' name. What would it look like? I'm asking a question. Because see, I'm at a conference with 250 people are there, and they're all talking about demons and demon possession and the spirit world, blah, 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 blah. And what happens? Well, on Saturday night, there's a speaker there by the name of John Ramirez, who was a former high witch, warlock. Lived in the occult. Okay. He lived an occult life. Now, this is a – Joe, just play about a minute of this. I had never heard of John Ramirez ever. I never had, okay? So here's this John Ramirez who now has a deliverance ministry, okay? Joe, just play about a minute of John Ramirez so we hear.
Ranking priest in Satanism, pursuing dark spiritual powers and actively fighting for evil to rule. He since left that life, and he's here today to tell us his story. John, tell me, why did you want to get involved in Satanism? Well, what's attractive about that?
Well, I think attractive about Satanism at the age of 8 to age of 20, 35, that was attracted to it was the power, the controlling, mm-hmm. the, the, put fear on people. People respect you. You know, it was a superficial thing that was going on in my life for 25 years of witchcraft, Satanism, killing animal, drinking animal blood, astral projecting, witchcraft for hire, putting witchcraft on people, make a lot of money. All this stuff was going on in my life, and I did it because I felt accepted. I felt important in my life for 25 years.
And it happened, it went to your family. Like, you actually kind of inherited it.
It was the bloodline of my dad, my aunt, going on to, parents and all that other stuff. And then we ended up going to witchcraft church, you know, and it just became a lifestyle.
You were born into it, basically.
Let me stop
it. Now, listen, let's go right here real quick, because I want to make sure that I didn't mishear something, okay? Those of you who are listening right now, can somebody tell me some of the things that John Ramirez did? By the way, in his satanic church, in this religion of Satanism, which he was born into, what were some of the things he said he did? Did anybody hear it, or was it, or my headphone?
I thought I heard him say he drank blood.
He drank blood? What else did he say he did? Did anybody hear anything?
He had powers.
He had powers? Anything else you heard him say?
Astral projecting.
The astro projected. What the heck? What is that? What? Huh?
Do, 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 do.
What? Right? Except he's sitting before us. He said, I lived this lifestyle. In fact, I was so good at it that people in high places hired me to cast spells. I'm not making this up. Isn't this what this guy just said? I think it is. I think this is what he just said. So this ain't Disneyland. He lives like this. Drinks blood. They drink blood today. We don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe it. Satanists aren't real. But now he found Christ. I'm not going to play any more of this. I'm not going to find Christ. So he found Christ. Everything changed. What is he doing now? He is actively engaging in deliverance, casting out devils. So he's going around there on Saturday night and hear the watchman after he spoke for about an hour and a half and asked people to come forward for deliverance. And he's praying with people, and, you know, people getting slain in the spirit. I don't know. I don't know where you are with being slain in the spirit. I don't even. Jared, you'll find what I'm looking for on my Facebook page, I think. And so, you know, people are slain. Some are going down. I mean, you know. And so immediately some of the other people left the room because that isn't how the Lord would operate. Now, keep in mind, this dude lived the life. Are you with me here? He lived the life, right? And so here he is. He used to cast demons. He used to astro project. We don't even believe in this stuff. He says, what are you talking about? I did this, man. I did this for a living. It's generational. We did this for a living. So we're standing there, and he's praying for people. And all of a sudden, he lays the hands on this woman here, and he starts praying for her, and a demon manifests. I don't know what to call it. And I wanted to see it. I didn't run out of the room like some people did. Said, oh, that's not of the Lord. That can't be of the Lord. And so I get into this a little bit late. This has been going on for about 5 minutes, that this woman hits the floor, and she's writhing and flopping and screaming. And John, just watch this. Just watch this.
You have broke demons. How many pennies are sold? How many pennies?
Have some money.
How many pennies?
She come to America.
How many pennies?
I'm the one who
how many pennies?
To America.
Yeah, you brought to America, so you made a big mistake. You must be a stupid demon.
And your mother sold her son.
Yeah, your mother sold nothing. You can't sell nothing. You're wrong. You can't sell nothing.
I'm filming this. She said the demon, whatever, said, my mother sold my soul. My mother sold my soul. She was from, I don't know where she was from, voodoo, probably whatever. And John Ramirez is trying to get the demon out. And the demon's saying, no, 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 I have a right to be here. Her mother sold me her soul. Go ahead.
I break that. I destroy it. I uproot it. Jesus said, you keep telling me, we break it, we break it, we break it, we break it. We break it, we break it. In the name of Jesus, we break it. We break it, we break it, we break it, we break it. We break it, we break it.
She's already sold.
She ain't sold nobody. She sold to Jesus Christ. Look at this. And she sold to John 3:16. Shut your mouth.
She's
John
3:16.
No, she's not.
She's mine.
No, she's not. You've been canceled. You've been
okay. Where she goes,
OK, Okay, this is available. You can watch this whole thing. See, I started it from the beginning. I didn't have the camera running. From the beginning, when he just goes over and he's praying for her, lays his hands on her, and boom, man. She goes wild. She goes crazy. So at this point, some of the more religious people leave the room. Oh, this can't be of the Lord. That's scary. Why? Huh? This can't be. He's babbling in tongues. This can't be of the Lord. Now, two things I want to point out. Number one, this dude tells us that he was for years and years and years a high priest in this. He knows what he's. I used to do this to people. I used to do this to people. He understands demonic possession, oppression. And then the other people who came and talked to all of us about demons and evil spirits and high places and weapons of our warfare, not carnal, and CERN and boom, boom, boom. It's all coming from every place else. Don't think what he's doing is kosher. Now, can somebody explain to me how you can think that way? How can you come to hear about the demonic, and when the demonic shows up, say, oh, that's not good. That's all staged. That's all fake.
It's not sugar. Coach, it's not sugar to their ears. It's coach. Not wheat.
George?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
One is when you are not a doer of the work, when you're just hearing, and you're not out there hitting the streets doing. You become more of a – it's kind of like a college professor that's never built a business.
It becomes theory.
Right. Exactly.
Theory. Oh, they can talk about the devils and demons and Nephilim. I'm not talking about L.A. Marzulli. That's not who. But it doesn't matter. And the furor that broke out over why this shouldn't be going on here. I'm not making this up. We're at a conference talking about demonic possession, and people are upset that demons are being cast out. That's why I asked the question at the beginning. If you were to cast out a demon, what would it look like?
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I've seen this my whole life, my whole Christian life, and what it appears to me is that some people have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Mm. Now, I'm not judging the people who were there that you're referring to as a little too religious. But all I'm telling you is people want to deny God's power when it shows up. Okay?
Hey, Jim, not only that, they want to deny the devil's power. What would demon possession look like?
Exactly.
And see, we're not comfortable with it because we don't see it. We don't see it in our churches. We talk about it. We talk about Ephesians. We talk about it, but we don't do it. And what did Jesus say? These signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They shall cast out devils.
And Coach, Hang on just a minute, Dale.
I'm going to let you in here. How about this? And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall love everybody. They shall not hurt anybody's feelings. They shall ooze the love of Jesus everywhere they go. They'll be tolerant. Is that what it says? No. And these signs shall follow them, believe in my name. First thing, they're going to cast out devils. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, brother, you know, when you ask what it looks like, most don't know because they've never experienced it, brother. Have been there, experienced them in service, could go on and on about that.
I saw this thing from the kickoff. You understand what I'm talking about?
Brother, man.
Hands on her, and boom, ball was kicked off.
That's exactly it, brother, because they deny they're so after the knowledge, they deny the power. And then they want to write it off and saying that that was for the first church. It's kind of like what Peter said in Acts. He says, and this promise is for you, your children's children, and as many as far off and as the Lord calls. And in this passage of scripture, Jesus didn't say it was for just the first century church. He says, for those who believe in my name. That's, brother, I don't care if people believe or don't believe. I got it, and I don't know what to tell you.
So, Dale, I was talking to one of these people after the evenings of just a second, Raj, and I said, did you come to see Russ Dizdar? Yeah. Are you disappointed Russ didn't come? Oh, yeah. I wanted to hear more about the spiritual warfare and everything. Huh? I said, wait a minute. Pardon me. What the hell do you think Russ does? What do you think he does when he's out on the street? Sit him down and pray over him and they walk away and everything's okay? Is that what you think we're dealing with here? Demon possession? Go ahead, Raj.
Oh, I think the first 5:8, 1 Peter 5:8. When you think of evil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
Amen. Amen.
It might take a little more than a pity patter laying on hands to remove that roaring lion.
Roger, how about that girl that we just watched? Jared, I sent you another video today. See if you can pull that one up too. I heard that demon in her say what? My mother sold her to me. My mother he felt he had rightful ownership. Not that one, Jared. I think I sent you another. Rightful ownership. Rightful ownership. Demon had rightful ownership. Okay, now, if that demon has rightful ownership, what kind of fight is good? How hard would you fight just to give up your car? How hard would you fight to give up your house? And so this demon says, I got a deed to this thing, man. My parents passed this thing down to me. I own this thing. And John's supposed to say, well, oh, okay. Okay, cool. Jared, maybe I didn't say, we're about out of time anyway. It doesn't matter.
I'd like to piggyback on what someone said just a few minutes ago. Says, I'm not judging those who were there. You know, no, you can't judge them. That's God. God has the power, the authority, and the responsibility to do the judging and determining the outcome or the result of whatever actions or beliefs you have. However, we must be observers. We must be fruit inspectors. And a fruit inspector, when he sees a piece of bad fruit, if he keeps his mouth shut and doesn't tell anybody else about it, somebody may pick up that piece of bad fruit and take a bite and die. I tell you what, we've got to stop this I ain't judging nonsense. We're just saying that because we want to make other people think that we understand where they are. No, we've got to say, I have determined that those folks were off base. They were out of bounds when they refused to accept what goes on. Well, you know, we've got to, and that is truth. When you start hacking, you start getting.
So listen, sit in the back. Do you remember what the Pharisees accused Jesus of? They said he's casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub. It's all an act, the Pharisees said, right? And dude, how does that work? How do I cast? What? What are you talking about? And see, it's the same thing. Instead of those people who had never seen it, just sitting back in the back of the room and watching it, they said, we don't do that in my church. I'm out of here. That's of the devil. That's of the devil. We don't do Coach that. But we talk about the demons. Oh, we talk about them. But Coach, we don't mess with them.
But, Coach, let's just flip the table real quick. Go to the Mercy Ministry side of it. They wouldn't leave the room if we're praying for a healing, though. We're believing in the power of God to heal somebody, but we won't believe in the power of God to cast out a devil.
You nailed it again, as you always do. If it had been a healing line, they'd all been up there holding hands and praying for people. Four times, I'm not making this up. Four times, John Ramirez, as he was dealing with this, he looked around the room and said, where are the other ministers? Where are the other ministers? You know where they were? Out hiding under the table. That's where they were. Out hiding
hey,
under
Coach.
The table. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. But I got to tell you, this happened later on, I guess, because I had left. It was ending. It was at the end. And I went to see Pastor Begley. I went to say goodbye to him. And I didn't even see this go on. That's amazing. Can I tell you a quick story about casting out some demons?
Sure.
My son was troubled, real troubled. After I got saved, I I had the God kept telling me to get rid of my records from downstairs and rock and roll stuff. And I had a lot of them. And I saw this video about John Todd, I think his name was. He was an executive for Capitol. And he talked about casting, how they prayed, they invoked demons into the masters of the rock and roll albums. Well, my son was going through a tough time, and he was really troubled. I went down one day, and I just started breaking those records up and casting out demons and praying blood of Jesus over everything. That day, he came down, apologized to me, and from that point on, he's been totally turned around and moving in the right direction.
Unbelievable.
So I'm sorry I missed it. I wish I was there to see what went on. I'm going to watch the video. I can't believe I missed that.
I'm telling you, son, listen, folks. We want to talk about demons. We want to cast out demons. But, brother, when it gets right down to the dirty, nitty-gritty of it, we don't believe in demons. Right? We don't believe in demons. We have a head knowledge of it, but we don't believe it's real. I got some great stuff to share with you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. We don't have that. We don't have that form of godliness, baby. We're not going to deny the power. We have, as Roger said, an adversary who roams around like a roaring lion. He ain't a puppy cat. Puppy cat ain't a puppy dog. God bless you. See you tomorrow.